So let me take 30 seconds that if Bernie was saying things too fast, too big, you didn't get it. Here's the big deal. There's all sorts of different aspects of our life. And if you can change your worst area a little bit, you change yourself and you change people around you. That's everything we just had for the first half hour. Did you get that? If you change the little things, you get big effects. So that's what we're talking about, influence. Let's welcome Bernie back to the platform. Bless you, guy.
Yes. Hey, let's pray. God, I do pray, Lord Jesus, that we would take advantage of this Toronto portal, Lord, and that you just help communicate this, God. We know that you want us to be better. God, there's so much more. You want us to be the head and not the tail. You want us to be the lender, Lord, and not the borrower, and just allow us to experience that together, Lord. No magic here, Lord. It's your spirit. No magic. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Thank you so much. I get so excited about this because when you can think of, and again, we all have different gifts, but when you can think of the weak area of your life and make a little change in that, it has such a massive change in your whole life and in your influence. Most of the times, we have a guy in Latin America, he goes, you know, the last person to know they have bad breath is the person that has it. And so he took the 40 principles and he created this thing called breath savers. Because he said, you know, we can have a stinky attitude. We can be undependable and be stinky when it comes to dependability. We can think what we're productive and be stinky in our production. And I want to make this really clear. This is not performance oriented. This has nothing to do with this. This has a structure that in our lives and in the world that we live in with globalization, the pressures that our kids are under with 60-hour work weeks, they know the crucible that they're in. And this is a language that will speak to them. When you do it in a small group, you'll find out you are touching something that the Gospel of John maybe has shared about, but they didn't get it. You're touching something that is so 2 Peter, where it says, when you've received this precious blood of Jesus, add to your faith these things. You're touching it. You're touching that thing that, like Peter, when he was dealing with the heathens that Paul had brought to the Lord. I mean, Peter dealt with the Jewish people. They knew what a feast were. They knew what a festival was. They knew what a fast was. They knew Leviticus. What about the heathens like Bernie and Jerry that get thrown into this thing and don't know that Christianity is a process that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? This is the work. It's God will take this little thing and he'll shine it. And all this does, believe me, all this does is look at one little area that maybe has been your plague, that it wasn't locusts or frogs or blood, but it's a thing that's maybe plagued you like me from the time I was a kid, that if I made that one little change, my effectiveness as a Christian changed. So these are how it works. I think what I'll do, Ramesh, I'll just do this myself, just because I own it. You know what I mean? I'm thinking it might be easier to make sure. If I'm miscommunicating, raise your hand, because this is just so important. Okay, so I'm going to go up here real quick. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to make a statement. I keep my promises to myself and my coworkers and keep the appointments that I make. And on the influence profile, you're just going to answer the personal section. Just do the personal. I'm going to make it simple. I'm not even going to ask you what others might say about you. Just what you think about yourself. And the reason I say that, I'll never forget Gail Kreitz and I were doing this, and I said, Gail, punctuality, how would you rate yourself? She said a 7. I said, how would Irma rate you? She said, a 4. Because Gail saw her intention. She knew the traffic, but Irma was saying, it's 8 o'clock and Gail ain't here. So there was an average in there. We're not going to deal with any of the averages. Just how do you see yourself? Scale of 1 to 10, please don't use 5. Just write that whole number down. Got it? I'm going to ask you the second question. I readily admit it when I'm wrong. How quick could you say, my bad? That's all of it. We're going to do humility in a second. Scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself in being able to say, hey, my fault, sorry. Number 3, I operate in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's the plumb line of God, la plumada. When he builds, he holds his plumb line, and you can only build so far if you're leaning. Isn't that amazing? So how do we get lined up to the plumb line of God? Number 4, when I have a job to do, I give my best effort to do as much as I can with the highest quality possible. Excellence. I do things with excellence. I do things extra that I'm not even paid for. I represent the master. I do things unto the Lord. How would you rate yourself with the job that God has given you? And number 5, I not only give money, but I also spend time with others that need help so that they develop the skills that will help them in the future. Time, talent, treasure. How do you look at, is the tithe all that God wants from me? How do I rate myself? I was talking to Barbara during the break, and she said, if you're dealing with a culture and you raise productivity, what happens if you lower relationships? What happens if God's economy says, okay, if I go to a 10 on productivity or task, what happens to my relationship? What if that was my time that I should be praying for people or going to see people? In the Latin culture, if I take 15 minutes here, am I taking it away from there? The answer is no. You're taking it away from the television. You're taking away from the bar. You're taking away from slothful living. That's where it was taken from. It wasn't taken from their relationships. So God has given us so much time. All we're looking for little changes of where we are wasting that stuff. Do you feel that? And that's one of the principles that we deal with. Now, those are the first 5. And all you have to do then, add those 5 up. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Add them together. And that becomes your total in category A. This is really simple. Mm-hmm. We didn't do the other. We didn't do personal and other. We're just doing personal. So you're just doing column 1, which is the personal. Yeah. The averaging I didn't get into, yeah. I usually have a tablet that I can write on. It's a lot easier to explain, so I won't go into that. But okay, you got that? So you just add whatever those 5 were and put it as category A. So if I was 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, that'd be 25, and that would be my total for category A. And again, nothing magic. All this is a mirror. It's not no psychological thing or something like that. These are 40 principles condensed by the best minds Lored has had. Gail and the team, we have professors in Guatemala. They've helped us create these questions. Okay, B. I stop and think about my words, what my words will produce before I speak them. That's a principle. Self-control means controlling the tongue. A quick retort can ruin everything. Anybody out there been in that movie? Number 7, I try to do things for right and moral reasons, not just to get ahead. Oh, I love it. I love the social entrepreneurs today. You know, entrepreneurs in my generation was you made money. Social entrepreneurs, they want to make people. Their currency is changed people. Still the entrepreneurial spirit. They don't quantify it with money. They quantify it with transformed lives. It's incredible. So right and moral reasons, not just to get ahead. Number 8. I know the importance of timing and planning and can hold my desires for the right time. Delayed gratification. I can delay my gratification for the right moment. All I have needed, the Lord has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, that's what that is. Number 9. I know the importance of producing. Let's read this one together, because I don't want to step on any toes. I know the importance of producing and do not make changes to the plan. I'm not telling you that, I mean, whether we like it or not, we're in a postmodern productive-driven society. And that's why our jobs are in China. My folks came from the coal mines, man. My grandfather came from Ukraine. He was a landowner during the Bolshevik Revolution that became a coal miner in the United States of America, that we could learn English and our life could be transplanted, because the system there stunk for 90 years, man. It stunk in Ukraine until 91, when that whole revolution changed and they became free. But he used to tell me, he said his success to my grandfather was a 6-foot standing seam of coal, so he wouldn't have to bend over with his pick. That's what success was for Grandpa Kuzminchuk. That's all it was. Just if I could just stand up, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? If I could just stand up, and if the coal would be clean, because they paid by the bucket of coal, that they wouldn't throw out the rocks, and you didn't get paid for the rocks that you dug by hand, only the coal you produced. That's what made the United States. That was our production. That's what's in China now when they lay in a factory, man, making no money just for a place for the next generation. That's production. So just because we ain't doing it does not mean it ain't being done. When I go to Walmart, it's being done by somebody smelling the PCBs and the VOCs and drinking the polluted water because of what I want. That's what production is. Frank Peretti says we are consumatrons. Consumatrons. We consume, but that's what's keeping the whole economy going now. You know, if we stop fixing, we think fix is cocaine, fix is Walmart with 10 grandkids. That's what a fix is. Everyone wanting a toy that lasts, what, about 2 days in the Torrance house and ends up in a landfill, then we don't know what to do with the landfill. That's what I'm talking about, man. All creation groans for what? For the restoration, the reformation. I'm able to control my emotions and I'm not subject to outbursts. Okay. And then do the same thing in that line one, that personal. And you can do everything we have is transferable. You get the masters. You can play with this thing. It's not scientific. That's what makes it fun. All this does is tee up Mike. You're going to see. All this whole exercise does is give you my DNA and tease up what Mike tells you to do over the next 40 weeks. Because now we can say, okay, let's look and rate ourselves. And then add that total to B. So you'd add up 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Add that up and put it in total B. Got her? Yes? Pardon me? Okay, what does question 9? Great question. Let's go back and see. I know the importance of producing and do not make changes to the plan. It's the concept of focus is what that is. That you understand how important it is for the completion of a plan when it's set in action. Okay? Really? Okay. This is the actual principle of production. And the principle, let me tell you what the principle is in Proverbs. Principle of production is an empty stable stays clean, but there's no income from an empty stable. That's the principle. So we get so many people that get so wrapped up in the planning part, they lose it on the productive part. And so what this does is it marries that concept of it's good to have a little sawdust around. It's good to smell ink in a print shop because we live in this quantum little space now that's the footprint of our PCs. And how do we produce? How do we get that concept of production? And then while respecting the plan, because if you can't execute what was planned, you miss it. So this principle actually ties in with another one, and you'll see how they pull apart a little bit, but that one's, so you're respecting the plan, but you know the principle of production. Getting things done, okay? Does that help, Jerry? Okay. Okay, let me give you another one of my heroes. This is a guy named Joe Fowler. I'll come back and we'll... Joe Fowler was a director for Walt Disney. And when Walt had decided to build Disneyland, how many of you know where Disneyland is at? Okay, he decides to build Disneyland, and he goes to his board of directors. He says, I want to build a park that it will be like a kingdom, a magic kingdom. Think of the kingdom of God. I want to build a place where it's a little different than the kingdom of California. So they said, well, you're a cartoonist. You're not a contractor. And he told his board, find me this man, Joe Fowler. Because Joe Fowler was an admiral in the United States Navy at the time of Pearl Harbor. And he said, when the devastation happened in Pearl Harbor, we had one way we could go, which would have been admit defeat. I mean, that's what it was designed to do, take us out of the picture. Or we could rebuild. And Disney said, I need a builder, and that's the builder. That's the legend. He's called a Disney legend. Again, look him up in Wikipedia. You go to the Disney site. I just love this. As a matter of fact, every Disney world has a Joe Fowler steamship because he was Admiral Joe Fowler. Okay, here's the deal. Disney said, in Pearl Harbor, he did not see defeat. He saw victory. In 6 months, he rebuilt that deal. So we talk about elders at the gate taking a city. God gives that Joe Fowler anointing that sees the moment of opportunity when the whole world is saying, you guys can do it, 9/11. Remember that moment of opportunity in 9/11? That we could seize it and bring unity to the world, or we could cause another third world war. What do we do? You got to hear from God on that stuff. Disney was saying, here's a man that heard. And so with him, what he did, he built Disneyland. He didn't see those groves of orange. He saw a magic kingdom. That's actually one of his boats. Now, here's what's amazing. He was 62 years old when that happened. He had already retired out of the Navy. Goes to Disney World, Disneyland, 62 years old, gets done. Walt says, thank you. He goes back into retirement. 20 years later, Walt says, I want to build Disney World. Who do you think he called? Joe Fowler, 82 years old. Joe Fowler comes out. That's where we got into the picture with Mike Vance and the whole Disney thinking. Joe Fowler gets to be a picture of this thing, and he helps build Disney World bigger and better. 10 years later, Walt had a plan to build Epcot, experimental prototype for Community of Tomorrow, Epcot. Who do you think he called? No, Walt was dead. Roy called Joe Fowler. And so Joe Fowler headed that project in his 90s. How many 90-year-olds here? Wow. Don't be done, man. Don't be done. So he still had an Epcot. Now, here was the beauty of this thing. At the time they dedicate Epcot, Mrs. Disney is still alive. Roy Disney's there. And the reporters come in. You know how you ever deal with reporters here? I'm just so sad that Walt did not live to see this. And Joe Fowler stepped forward and he said, oh, Walt saw it. Walt saw it. Walt had the mind of a visionary. He saw it long before it was done. It's just death. What's that? A portal. Another portal. Walt saw it. That was the vision of Joe Fowler. And I'm going to give you his 10 questions. Okay, these are vision questions. Perspective. Okay. I control my thoughts and attitude. 1 to 10. When I experience adversity, I look for purpose in the hardship instead of getting discouraged and angry. That is the principle of adversity. I love it in the Living Bible. You are a poor specimen if you cannot stand the pressure of adversity. That's what it says. King Solomon said it. You are a poor specimen if you cannot stand the pressure of adversity. Oh, but we're supposed to measure ourselves? But if you fall out in the adversity, you've taken yourself out of the game. I am in control of my feelings and am in control of situations instead of situations controlling me. Can I stand? Yeah. Number 14. Oh, man, I love this one. I can set borders in my relationships so that people know what lines not to cross. It's huge. Every time I come to Canada and I get to that immigration border, they always ask me three questions. Where are you going? I'm going to catch the fire. That's what I told him yesterday. I'm going to catch the fire. He said, you're going to catch the fire? I said, I'm going to catch the fire. And then I had my little slip and I showed him. I said, this is catch the fire. What's catch the fire? I said, it's a church. Haven't you heard? Right at the border. We were laughing. What are you bringing? What's your baggage you're dragging across that line? And dude, you ain't Canadian, so when are you going home? Man, the kingdom of God got to learn some of that stuff. There's a lot of brothers in the kingdom of God, but there's a few cousins. A few cousins. I love Dennis Peacock said, as a business guy, this is the language that made me converted. How many of you have heard of Dennis Peacock? Oh, man. He said, I'm a charter member of the Hire a Heathen Club because I've been burned by the brothers. I'm a charter member of the Hire a Heathen Club. I would rather hire a heathen than hire a brother and get in an argument on do we work on Good Friday. That's what he's saying. So all things considered, let's just go to church and hire heathens. We should produce the best quality people, better out of here, harder workers. That's what you're getting in Ghana, wholesale. I have something in writing that explains what I want to accomplish in the next month, the next year, the next 5 years, and the next 10 years. In writing, yeah. Now I got to tell you this. We didn't get this changed. We just completed a thing for the church. We had showed Stephen and John this. This is the principle of goals. That's the principle of goals. And I used to be the person that would say, I want a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan. Okay? I mean, that's the way I always, smart goals. I mean, that's what they taught you at Xerox. Your goals got to be smart, you know, and I'm going through this Millennium Project, and we're studying the principles in light of Jesus, where he said, I will take from those who have not and give to those who have. So how could this opposite of the Obama economy exist? I will take from him who has not and give to him who has, because he who has will do something with what I've given him. They know it wasn't meant to be food, it was meant to be seed. That's the key. And so as I was going through this, and so we lifted up this law of Jesus, that we called that law, and we got out of Pat Robertson's book, The Secret Kingdom. Law number one, the law of use. You must use what you have or it will be taken from you and given to somebody who will use it. That's the law. New Testament law. Jesus said it. Red letters. Read them. Red letters. So now we said, what four principles? They said, Bernie, what four principles make that law use? I said, it's easy, man. So Gail Kreitz, a professor at Mariano Galvez, we said, what four Lared principles? Just position that law of use. You know what they were? Ambition, goals, hard work, and productivity. Those four principles gave, it was almost like dropping the litter. Remember when the litter came with that body down through that roof? There were four, I just pictured these four strings holding that guy when he's coming down, four of them. It's like, here's the law, this wonderful foundational law of Jesus. If you don't use it, I'm going to take it from you and I'm going to give it to somebody else, you wicked and slothful servant. That's what he said. Loving Jesus said that. Then these four principles, pull it up. Perfect harmony, ambition, that's of God. Work, that's of God. Latin America, we first showed that principle of work. They said, work, you get other people to work. John said, that was the first command ever given in the Bible is work. Produce. God, Alvaro Contreras was the guy's name. Alvaro came back. He says, oh, Lord. I said, what's the matter? He said, you know what the second command was? I said, no. He said, you're fired. That's what he said in his broken English. He goes, you're fired. Get out of the garden. God gave him work, man. He gave him dominion. It's not a curse, man. It's a blessing. Talk to people that can't work. So I never again will have another 5 and 10 year goal, ever. Never. So X that out. Don't even worry about it. Because I don't know anybody that I run with today that is doing what they said they was going to be doing 5 years from now. That's how hard this world is changing, how fast it's changing, how hard it's changing. So 5 and 10 year goals, scrap them. Man proposes, God disposes. We're living in the age of disposal. Add those together and that becomes C. Okay? D, I have something in writing that explains my vision, my mission, and strategy. Now, that one is important. I search for all information I can get before making a decision. How many of you appreciate Bill when he was singing today? I'm telling you, he sings, he owns that city song. Man, when he sang that, I thought, that could be recorded. That's maybe his song. But the guy's an HP engineer, man. He's the sales guy with HP. Planning is what it's all about. I mean, bringing in the facts is what it's all about. That's a gift. Can you bring it in before the Spirit leads us to do something wrong that we should have discerned? I search. I use the mind that God's given me and then pray over it. It's easy for me to find a solution that works. Certain people in this room, that's your gift. Other people, that's hard for you. That's why we need each other. Number 19, I freely give of my time, ideas, and money to help others. Principle of generosity. By watering others, you water yourself. I am enjoying the good life in many ways because of what I have done for others. And let's define good life. Success is not what you want to do. It's knowing God's will for your life and being in it. That's success. That's why when I come here, I say I get peace. It's like when Jerry gets his instruments all calibrated. That's what Toronto is to me, that sometimes I get out of balance in some of this drive that I have, you know, and God just gets me in this portal, and I see the good life has nothing to do with this stuff. Nothing to do with it. The good life is being in peace with what God has called for you. Okay. Now, since you're in the question mode, I'm going to give you 10 more, and then we'll be back on track the way the seminar goes. Okay. Oh, let me get back up there. Okay. This is a quote from John Schrock. He said, the revolutionary thinker, this is Joe Fowler, the revolutionary thinker, is someone who sees how they should be, could be, will be, and then sees that it's done. See, there's a lot of people that know how it should be, just go to a coffee shop. They know what should be done. They know what should be done. That's what a coffee shop is. That's the noise. There's others that know what could be done. That's what John says. Don't be a should-beer. What would you do about it? What could you do? What can we do? Is there salt and light in us that could bring change to that situation? And then the revolutionary raises up and says, oh, it will be. It will be done. It will be done. How many of you have run around with revolutionaries? That's what it is. It's not what should be, not what could be. It's what will be, and then their eyes see it as done. That's the Joe Fowler. His eyes saw it as done. It was done. Walt Disney saw it as done. So these are the 10 attributes or vision. Now there's 5 that are non-negotiable, again, and for my seminar, because I usually do this not with Mike. I usually do this before Mike, and then he comes in later on. So I get people thinking about, of these 5, what's your weakness? I want to know what is the weakest part so we can put some Deming math to work. Is it attitude, parameters, goals, effective planning, or facts? Which of those would be your weakest point? And that's the orbit of vision and perspective. That's what gives you this whole different perspective. Okay. And we're right on track for 12:30, so don't have to worry. The process of courage. I often do things I know are right, even if those around me don't agree. It's question number 21. Rate yourself from 1 to 10. I often do things I know are right, even if those around me don't know or don't agree. Number 22. When I experience that should be difficulty, I keep going instead of giving up. The law of perseverance, the gift of perseverance. I can easily handle strong opposition from others. And if you can't, hang around with somebody who can, because we're going to need that team together, because it's going to be the age of opposition. I was sharing with some people when I came here the first time. I stayed at this little bed and breakfast, and there was a book on a guy that just touched my heart. His name was John Wentworth. How many of you know John Wentworth in history, Canadian history? Who remembers John Wentworth in Canadian history? He was the governor of Nova Scotia, but he was also the governor of New Hampshire at the time of the Revolution. So I'm sitting in this Toronto hotel, and I pick this up. I just love history. I start reading about this John Wentworth. He founded Dartmouth College because he said Harvard got too secular. That's my kind of guy. That's what I want to run around with. So he says, hey, listen, Harvard has gotten too astute. So let's have Dartmouth, another Ivy League college. He founded it. He was the founder. He left it there because his concept was loyalty. And he said, I can't believe that these people in the colonies would be disloyal. His concept was loyal. That's the hill he died on, was loyalty. So I'm reading his history with a Canadian perspective, which was a little different than my history from a Mel Gibson perspective, which was the patriot. So I'm getting this paradigm shift, and I'm thinking, man, so I study the guy, and he was the one that went to France and helped us make the treaty with France that helped us in the Revolution with Benjamin Franklin and John Adams. He was the factor because he had gone to school with these guys, and even though he was loyal to the Queen, he was also loyal with his people from his class, and he, instead of rejecting them, he went in. And that's how the United States of America was born. A guy named John Wentworth. He's also on Wikipedia. It's a great thing at Wikipedia. Yeah, but how do we see it? Different perspectives. You think Canadian history is a little different? Who won the War of 1812? I learned this last night. Oh! Just love it. Don't tell Mr. Miller. That was my history teacher. I can keep cool when someone is upset with me. That's the principle of restraint. Ah, man, Sullivan was so fun. It is easy for me to hear about my flaws and failures. Wow. Got it? Okay. It is easy for me to hear about my flaws and failures. Those are five. Okay. Then just add them up and put them in the total of category E. F. It is easy for me to receive information and adjust my plans. This is what I was talking about that was the tension of that other one. You'll see how they work together. So it's easy for me. Am I flexible? Because there's some people that ain't flexible. At Xerox, that's what they used to tell us. They said the greatest ability that you'll ever have is flexibility, because we have to bring things to the market before they're done. And we need an army of sales guys that understand that. That it isn't 100% when you guys got to sell it, but you got to pretend that it is. And they said at Xerox, it isn't ready, aim, fire. It's ready, fire, aim. Because you might hit it. You might hit it. You might get lucky and it's good out of the box and you beat people to the market. 27. I take time to hear both sides of a story with a pure heart before making a decision. And there again, you'll feel the tension on that other one we just had about that emotion. I think it's going to help Barb. She was giving me another side of that story I was receiving from her. 28. I'm not afraid to discipline myself or others when they break the rules. I'm not afraid to pass judgment. 29, I take responsibility for people and possessions that have been entrusted to me. And the last one, I do not hold grudges against myself and others in my life. Every one of those takes courage. Every one of those 10. That's what courage is made of. And that's what we're starting in North America with, because North America does not have a deficiency in character, I don't believe. But we have to be reminded what it is to be truly courageous and be able to stand, you know, stand resistance. Okay, add those up, and that becomes your total for category F. Mm-hmm. Okay. So as you see, the template for this then is we had 10 on character, and every one of those 10 over a 10-week period of time, you can walk out this training of character. You have 10 now on vision, 10 weeks of vision, and you walk that out. One little incremental change, quarter of a turn at a time, one little thing that maybe has been a plague, and now we've seen courage. We use the symbol for this. This came from Guatemala. I wish Georgina was here. God's given us these incredible young Latin American gifts. One is Georgina Jump is her name now. It was Alarcón. But she said what we have to do in Guatemala is we have to become the anticorriente, the anti-current, because the current of corruption is so strong, they can't change the current. They have to swim upstream. And so that was the icon that we've chosen. You'll see Mike go into that. It's the ability to go against the flow, against what you know is wrong. That's what revolution is. That's what it is. You go against. And I thought the greatest illustration that there is anticorriente. And that salmon that comes outside to do what? Why does he come upstream? To spawn. And why does he spawn? It's generational thinking. I mean, when I think of kingdoms, the kingdom of God, it is transcultural. It is transgenerational, and it's transjurisdictional. That means it is every culture, every generation, the young to the old to the young, and you hear Lance Wallnau's message, transdiscipline, which means you can be an attorney or a pastor, and you're both called to the same thing. You can be a business person, or you can be cleaning someone's toilets, and you're both called to the same thing. It's your calling in life. That's what the Amish community has. They are Calvinistic in their thinking, and they say work is worship. What I do with my hands, they see nothing different in what they do and what they say. There's a convergence of those two things. And so when they finish something, it's under the Lord. That's why they'll work for $8, $10 an hour. Because when they get done, it isn't the money they were working for. I built that. There's something in that that satisfies that whatever's been programmed in their social capital. The power to change. Courage is what gives you the power to change. Do you remember when I put up that graphic about the little girl with the ringworm or the worm? Listen to this. When the case study was done that said these are the two habits that need to change, remember what they were? First one was filter the water. What was the second one? Celebrate. Do it again. God loves that sound. He loves that sound. Celebrate the change. So when they got the revelation, they said, let's take it to all of the villages. And because the people were white, the villages wouldn't believe it. Because in their paradigm, having the answer and being white did not come together. And so that's when this thing is part of that case study. For change to happen, the power to change, for influence to happen, are they telling the truth and can I do it? And so long before we will ever get people to do something, they're looking at you and saying, can I believe what you're saying? Are they telling the truth? And so they would rather live with this thing. They'd rather live with that if they think that you were lying to them, because they had already been there and done that. And so the revelation in that healing was getting people to believe that these people had the solution. Has anybody felt those cultural differences? Because that is tremendous culture. That's what happens in cultures. It happens. I mean, I saw when I watched the Olympics, I didn't know what First Nation people was until your Olympics. I loved your Olympics. I think you did a great job with First Nation people. Yeah. It was very nice to recognize them. Was there any trust issues? I mean, with ours, there were worse a little. Was there ever trust issues with First Nation people here in Canada? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the Olympic podium is nice, but why do we got to give them casinos to have them make it in the United States? What happened? What happened in this manifest destiny of the United States? Can I trust these people that are making treaties? That's what the whole deal is. So we're doing these prayer walks all around the world. I got a place called the Trail of Tears. You want to just come down there where the Cheyennes were dropped off there in Oklahoma. Driven out of everything that we thought we would own, the Mississippi River is all we needed. So we purchased the Louisiana Purchase so we could throw them into it, not knowing in the next 30 years gold would be discovered, and then we wanted the gold too. I mean, it's really so simple. The kingdom of God is so simple. Our greed is what drives these divisions. In Latin America, they were open to it. They said, yep, Columbus came. They said they came in the name of God, and they did. They just added the letter L, gold. They wanted gold in Latin America more than they wanted God in Latin America. And that's why the conquistador spirit, machoism, that's why it came. Because I come in the name of God, and I leave in the name of gold. It's incredible. Can we change those behaviors? So there's 10 courage principles, 5 of them non-negotiable. These are 5 that, man, I got to have. Can I handle pressure? Can I resolve conflict? Can I deal confrontation? Can I accept criticism? And can I forgive? What is your weakest? What is the one of those 5? Maybe all 5 are weak, but what's the weakest one? When Guatemala got a hold of the concept of forgiveness, the Holy Ghost fell in the university that we train in down there. Holy Ghost fell. Okay, and the last one, last section here. Process of influential leadership. I want you to underline influential. If it's not on your sheet, I can't remember if they're on there. But I'm not talking about Maxwell's 5 levels of leadership. I'm talking about the type of leadership that you don't got to be a leader to have. How many of you know that there's a leadership that you got position power? That's what Jerry was talking about, all the brass and everything. But then you got personal power when you say, what walked into the room? How many of you have seen that? What just walked in? What was that that just came in here? That's what John Schrock is. When you meet him, he is the most unassuming, humble guy. But you sit him in front of world leaders, and in 15 minutes, they are all looking to him because he's got an answer. I used to wear a band for 20 years. This is my lessons now. WWJD, what does that mean? What would you, not in my life, it was what would John do? I had the luxury of walking arm in arm with a guy that I could say, what would he do? I'd ask him. We'd sleep in the same rooms. We slept in the same room last night. John, what would you do? What would you do? Well, this is what I'd do. Because I thought when he said he'd do it, that was what Jesus would do. And that's how strong a mentor he was. Then all of a sudden he couldn't travel anymore. The airs, the altitudes were bothering him. He said, I can't go. And we said, what do we do? Well, we better find out what Jesus would do then, right? That's my journey this last year and a half, is what would Jesus do? John never said, ask him. He's always pointing me. But he was influencing me, influencing without position. I do even more than others ask of me because it makes me feel so good. Do your work, and not just your work alone, but a little more for the lavishing sake, and the clouds will clear. The clouds will clear away. Do your work alone, and not just your work, but a little more for the lavishing sake, and the clouds will, favor will come. I give my undivided attention when someone is talking to me. It is not difficult for me to be with people that have a different point of view than I do. I enjoy creating a growth environment for myself and others. I love discovering the hopes and dreams of others. Oh. I run around with some really powerful people. And people ask me, they say, where do you fit in this organization? When you see Bernie Torrance, this is what I want you to think of. I want you to think of Yoda. Remember Yoda in Star Wars? Yoda was the guy that taught the people to use the Force. That's what he did. His whole purpose was teaching people. And in this stage of my life, I cannot tell you how that is more than money could ever buy, to watch somebody begin to use the Force. Begin to use the Force. I love discovering that. I just love it. It breaks me. Add those up and rate yourself. Am I wearing you out? I hear the gasp from the left-hand side of the room. Yeah. It's okay. Oh, Ramesh. Okay, the last five. Why don't you all stand up real quick? Let's just get that one off of us. Been back to school. It's crazy. A guy comes into Toronto and gives us a test. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, let us breathe, God. Let us breathe. Thank you, Lord. Man, I'm thankful for mirrors, God. That's what these are, 40 little mirrors. Man. Thank you. Okay, you can be seated. We are down the home stretch. I am on the lookout for opportunities, and I take advantage of them. Number 37, I have adequate resources to use in time of need. We should read that one out loud too. I have adequate resources to use in time of need. I have a niece that I've been ministering to. She's Mormon by faith. And she's Mormon because of divorce, because my brother and his wife got divorced, and she wanted a religion where they held marriage at such an esteem that her kids would never have to go through that. So she fell for celestial marriage. That's what she fell for. Beautiful girl. And I was ministering to her, and I was saying, man, you know, I'm trying to share the benefits and everything of our faith when dad and mom went to church. They didn't know divorce would hurt her the way it helped them. And so I said, hey, what are the Mormons saying? Because you got to get used to that, because Glenn Beck, you know, he's a Mormon. I mean, you got to get used to it. He's leading the whole religious movement in the United States. The evangelicals are standing behind the Mormon because the Mormons got the guts to do it. And we didn't. 600 pastors standing behind him in Washington, D.C. She said, they're telling us to put back food and think of saving. I said, man, is that some end time doctrine? No. It's just an awareness that we're a body. That's what savings is. I told John Schrock, I said, you write this principle of savings, you don't save. He didn't have a savings account. He goes, savings isn't the money you put in the bank. It's wearing the shoes just a little bit longer. It's eating the leftovers that are in the refrigerator. It's bringing home the little doggy bag from the restaurant. That's what savings is. We had a girl that works for Jerry. She got a hold of this principle of that, and she said, I was coming home from work. I got gas. I went in, and they was going to buy a can of pop for $1.50. She was spending $1.50 for the can of pop. And that principle came to her mind, and she said, you know something? I've got a can of pop sitting at home, same can, for 20 cents. In our hotel last night, it's $2 for a can of pop. So here's 20 cents at home if I can just wait 15 minutes till I got there. And here was the miracle. She said, by doing that, I paid myself $1.30. Can you catch that revelation? She paid herself by not spending the seed. It's that simple, and we don't have to be brilliant to get it. It's adequate resources. It is easy for me to pay my debts. I never have obtained credit for other people. That's the principle of co-signing. That's a tough principle, and I'm telling you, it works in Ghana, it works in Uganda, it works in Kenya. It has got us before more kings when they see that principle, that it is wrong to co-sign for another person, run like a deer that's caught in a snare. Run, 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 is what Solomon said. Run, run. Give it. If you want to give it, you got it, give it. But don't get wrapped up in that thing of co-signing, man. And we've seen it break cultures, haven't we? We've seen it. That's what the business people are saying. They're saying, I go broke because he went broke. And I was just trying to be a blessing. That's all I was trying to do. So that is an important one, even though it doesn't look Christian. I recognize there are absolute truths that make life work. There are 40 plumb lines that I've drawn before you. I've put 40 plumb lines down. Okay, so now just add those up. And it just takes 5 minutes to go through this next section, if you've got this right. Because what we're doing now is we're showing the power of influence, and it's really one of your guys that showed me this, man. It was a fellow by the name of T.E. Lawrence. How many of you know T.E. Lawrence? Lawrence of Arabia. My goal is to be Torrance of Arabia. That's what Lawrence was. He knew that you had to run in a pack. He knew that. Lawrence of Arabia knew that to have an impact on the Arab nations, he had to become an Arab. And that's what he did. He went down there during World War I when Britain was already on another front, and he goes on this other front of Africa going into what is now all of the Middle East. Vision and purpose was Damascus. And the key was, who's the leader? You don't know who the leader is. Tell me who the leader is. At any given time, that's John Wimber's message. Any given time, which of those horses are the leader? If you run in a big enough pack, nobody knows. That's why the vision goes on. Even if you come out, Steve, the vision goes on. That's what influence was. And here's what he said. Influential leadership, power craves recognition. He knew that that was dormant in the Arab heart. They wanted to be a sheikh. They wanted to be. He knew it. And he said, influence must not. You can't crave recognition. You got to be faceless. And that's how they go into Damascus. Then I read that whole book, The Seven Pillars. A key to favor, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. If I pray, when we're done here today, I pray that you are light bearers. It's not my motto. That actually came from the Christophers that meant light bearers. And there for about 40 years in the United States, they were a moral compass in the business community because he would go into businesses and say, light candles. Don't just complain about the things, light a candle. Okay. 10 attributes of leadership that we have. 5 of those non-negotiables. Circle your weakness. What is your weakest area? Responsibility, listening, developing people, inspiration, or ambition. Got it? Little circle around, or you can even write it down. Now, here's what you do, very simple. Add up A plus B and put it in the top block there. A plus B. Whatever A was and B was, those are the character principles. Add those two things together and you will get a figure. So if it was 16 and 20, that total would be 26. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. What did I say? I'm sorry. It's Deming math. C and D do the same thing. E and F, E plus F, and G plus H. And when we created this, I was doing this in Guatemala, and we have a luxury there of working with the university, and they said, it's so amazing how this little thing works, because all this is a reflection of what area could be plaguing you the most. So when you look at those blocks then, you'll see if you move in one decimal point, let's say that your total was 56, then your score would be 5.6. If your total was 73, then your score would be 7.3. If it was 27, then your score would be 2.7. Got it? Okay? All you have to do is take those numbers then and put them over to the right, because character is A plus B. Vision is C plus D. Got it? Courage is E plus F. And leadership is G plus H. And here's the brilliance of this whole deal. What is your weakest? What's the lowest area? Okay. Now, as we get ready to go for lunch, anybody that had a lowest area of character, I'd like you to just stand up. And don't be ashamed. If that was your lowest area, just stand up. Okay? We celebrate this, okay? Now look around. Okay, good. Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that. Because I've identified something. And all you have to do, all you've got to do, is you've got to look back on that page that was called character, and you've already circled what you know that your restraint was. You already circled, of those five, you circled your weakness. And that's one principle you can major on even this weekend and bring change in your life. You've already circled the principle. God has already exposed the principle. The Holy Ghost has already worked through your processor and shown you that weakness. Now, vision. Stand up if your weakness was vision. This is always, look around. This is always interesting because vision is what we're about, church. My God. My God. We got to get it out of these walls and start tipping the marketplace, man. Vision. Fabulous. Sit down. Wonderful. That's the way it is. In North America, that's the way it is. So get a different perspective. Look on your sheet. Whatever it was that you underlined, that's your principle. All you got to do is change one of those behaviors. Forget the math. Just go to that behavior. Courage. Stand up if it was courage. That's my weakness. Oh, Carol, not you. I can't even believe that. I've never met such a... All I was doing was eating my chicken, Carol. I was just eating my chicken. Man, were you bold. I'm telling you, that's what spoke to me. Jerry, courage. Come on, look at you. Oh, man. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Shine that down. So could that mean we are courageous in our environment but not so courageous in their environment? Can we play the away game? Can we take this game on the road? How many influential leadership? That was your weakness. Oh, I can't even believe it. Look at an influencer. I'm telling you. Oh, I don't jump often. I don't jump often. I do not jump often. Oh, my God. Oh, thank God. Hey, Steve, that was not for you. That was for me, man. I want to grow up to be like you. Jeez. That's how it works. And so we just look at it. So let's just pray. And when Mike comes this afternoon, he's going to show you how to take that. This is the DNA. This isn't what you take in your life groups. I just want to show you how it works. And if you'll focus on that one deal, I guarantee change. I'm a sales guy. And I'm selling Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, that he will unroll the conscience of your heart, mind, and he will give you the answer as you're reading that principle. He'll do it. He'll do it. I know it. He does it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this laser beam, Lord, that you've brought into just a flagship of a movement here, God. Lord, we know the most dangerous place to ever be is where you used to be. That's the most dangerous place, is where you used to dwell. God, you've dwelled here. You dwell here. We believe you're going to continue to dwell here. Help us take this thing outside the walls in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.
Excellent, Bernie. So you just had an overview of all the 40 weeks that we're going to be going through those one by one in our cells. And we're going to start with courage is the ones that we're going to start with for our cell groups. And we'll figure out what we're supposed to do in January when you get here, Mark, which one we'll go next. So it's going to be a fun thing.